And there's no better way to start this sermon than by talking about those who are in the Lord that have gone on. Joy definitely was in the Lord. She served Him and loved Him. And we had the memorial service of Stella Drury yesterday, who also knew the Lord and loved the Lord with all of her heart. I've been getting more specific questions of what happens when we die. Do we go home? Where do we go? I'm going to try to answer some of that because I've been looking about home, where my new home is going to be. I do not believe when we die at this point, we go home. I do believe, on the other hand, as Paul said, he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That I know would be beyond a shadow of a doubt. But home is talked about in Revelation, about what real home, lasting home, a permanent home is going to be. And this is a message to encourage the believers to continue to fight that good fight, continue to live the way that we've been called to live, do what we've been called to do. And for those of us in this congregation this morning that don't have the living word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, reigning in our hearts, I pray that you understand that there's also another eternal home. One for the disobedient, one for the rebellious, one for those who rejected God's living Son. And it is eternal, as is the home which we as Christians are excitedly awaiting. Amen? So what about this home? Our home is described in Revelation chapter 21, but that's not where the sermon's going to be, okay? I just want us to get an idea because I'm going to start this out with answering a question, or maybe more like a statement. And that statement is, the four things that are going to be missing from the new heaven and new earth. Four things are going to be missing from there. And I want to share with you what they are. So, before we begin and go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer and praise Him and thank Him this morning. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, our great God in heaven, oh, it's so wonderful to be here with my brothers and sisters, Lord God. I'd rather be no place else than here. To be encouraged and loved and to love each other, Lord Jesus. Just that was read this morning. Oh, the way you love us, we need to love each other. Oh, Lord God, and where we sin, where we fail, forgive us, Lord God, because we are washed and have the cloak, the impugned righteousness of our Savior Jesus Christ over us. We can repent and be restored and come back to you. There's no power above, on, or under the earth that can keep us from you. None. Oh, I praise you, Lord God. You have the ultimate power in your hand. Lord God, you demonstrate that to me every day in my life. Each day I draw closer to you. I fall further away from my own desires, my own ambitions. Oh, Lord God, I thank you so much. And I pray that my brothers and my sisters here today would desire the same thing in their lives. To draw closer to you and further away from what this world is telling us where we need to be. It does not know. The reason it does not know is it does not know you. You are the light of our life. The light that guides our path. You, my Heavenly Father, are the lover of our souls. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus Christ, my holy Savior's name. Amen. I don't know what y'all, but when I start thinking about the final home, I get kind of excited. And I hope you do too. Because there is nothing on this planet, in this world, that can even compare to the home that we're going to be prepared to go to. And you know, when we die, we're still not prepared yet to go. And you want to know why that is? Because we don't have our new incorruptible bodies. Those are going to inhabit the new home. So what does it say about the new home? In chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, it says, and John writing this, the book of Revelation, says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away." Do I hear a hearty amen on that? Who here really wants to stay here? If you do, good luck to y'all. Because I don't. Okay? The thing that we can see about our new heaven and the new earth, this is going to be our permanent home for all eternity. And I think that is something we should thank God for. He's not just refurbishing, he's creating anew. He tells us that those old things which used to control us and possess us are now gone. We're new creatures in him. We may still look the same, but inside we have been remade. There are some believe that God is going to cleanse the old earth and cleanse heaven. And that could very well be. Only God knows that. I just know it's going to be new. And by new, it is going to mean that sin has not touched it. The only place sin has not touched right now in our presence is the third heaven where God is. That's the only place. And that's where I believe we go to stand in his presence, to be out of the sinful atmosphere of all that is created around us. Because remember, Scripture says that all of creation fell when we disobeyed God. Stars are deteriorating. Meteorites come into our atmosphere. They're falling out of the sky. Our world is deteriorating. One day it's not going to be so. We need to praise God and thank him for it. On the other hand, if there's any one person here that has rejected Jesus Christ, and I mean him as the living Word, the Son of God, the Savior of souls, if you have not come to profess him, you are in disobedience to him, you have rejected him, and your eternal home is death and hell. And it's eternal. If you go to 21 verse 15. It says here. That's not right. Okay. Chapter 20. It says, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, understand this. There's only two homes. Eternal death home and eternal life home. And both will be for eternity. So this nonsense that those who don't believe, those who reject, those who stand before God, that they will just be snuffed out and annihilated, they will no longer exist, is a lie. It's a lie. And my friend, we need to stand in exuberance to the fact that as believers, the things that are described here are just unbelievable, aren't they? The things that new heaven and new earth is. It says there's going to be no more seas. Well, I thought about that. I probably don't have the right answer, but you know what is encouraging to me? Because in the new earth is going to be demonstrated the tree of life. And from that tree of life flows the river of life. That which has given us life, that river of life, for all eternity. Now, let me move on here to chapter 22. I want to share with you four things that are going to be missing in the new heaven and the new earth. In chapter 22, he says here, he says, "And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Let's say that together. Forever and ever. Amen. That's eternity. Oh, what's exciting about this? First of all, how we come into church, how they go into a temple to worship God and meet Him, is no longer going to be necessary. Doesn't say there's going to be a new temple there, because every one of us are going to be able to see the Lamb's face, face to face, to see Him, converse with Him, talk with Him, and worship Him. But that's not what's missing. What is missing, first of all, is we will find on the new heaven and the new earth, there will no longer be any curse. There will no longer be any curses. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if we took and take a look back in Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, after they fell because they disobeyed God, he says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, so I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.'" There will be no more presence of God who cursed his enemy, Satan. And you want to know why? Because he will be in eternity in hell, no longer allowed in the presence of God. So therefore, there will be no curse. He brought the curse to this place. We can't blame it all on him, because it was humanity who accepted the curse, who fell to the disobedience of eating this fruit. And no, I'm not going to say that it was an apple, because we don't know. It was a fruit. Could have been a mango for as far as we know, but who cares? The fact is, God said, "Don't eat of it, and the day you eat of it, you will surely die." Okay, so Satan just mixed up the words for Eve a little bit. He says, "Did God really say that the day that you eat of it and touch it, that you're going to surely die?" How many of us scratch our heads sometimes when somebody kind of rewords something a little bit? We have to take a moment to think, don't we? Think about what's being said. God evidently didn't care if they touched it. What he cared about is that they ate it. So, because of his deception, manipulation, Satan has always been a master manipulator, folks. He always lies and tells you that that which is right is wrong, and that which is wrong is right. That's what he does. And he loves doing it. And he does it to Christians today as well. He'll tell us, "You know what? We're living in a new world. You can't live that way. This was written so many decades ago and centuries ago. How can you follow something so archaic?" I know this is the case, because I've heard Christians say it. That's a new thing out. That's why people are following this new fad of not believing that the Old Testament is absolutely irrelevant to today's life. It is much a gospel message of Jesus Christ as the New Testament is. Get that. Satan was cursed. We won't have to worry about his curse because he will no longer be there. So let's move on. Then he says to the woman, he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head." Now understand that word seed and that word he are capitalized because that is speaking of authority. That's speaking of someone special, not just any he or any seed. It's talking about the seed of God, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? Please get that. He's going to put enmity between man, whom he thinks he has destroyed forever, that is Satan, and he's going to bring somebody in called the Redeemer. Man, we were talking about goosebumps this morning in class. Man, I got them right now. Just thinking about that. He put enmity, he put Jesus Christ between me and Satan, that I may not have to live under his curse. And he did you too. He says, "And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Again, capitalized. "To the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. You shall desire, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Now, come on, we know already, if you're a woman, we know how Satan has already manipulated and returned that around. The sorrow part, not so much. I am thankful I am a man. I saw my wife give birth to two, and I said, "I could never do this to you again." I never seen, the first time I was told she and my son would both die because she was having such complication. She was in labor 72 hours, hard labor. And we prayed. I called the prayer chain when I was just attending Drexel. They got on the prayer chain, they prayed, and they were getting ready to do a C-section. It was noon. It was at noon. And the doctor come out, and I just walked in, and she said, "He's coming." And the nurse said, "No, he's not." Lifted it up. "Oh, yes, he is." And I was gone because I saw his head. And I said, "That's enough. I'm done." So anyway, this is what's being talked about here. And any of you women that have had children, you know what I'm talking about. Some do it with ease. The majority do not. And I'm not saying that to scare our young women not to ever have children, because you'll want to anyway. God give that to you. Okay? But he also takes away the memory of your having it, fortunately, or you'd never have another one. That's why men, I can still, to this day, remember every detail of it, because it's still in my memory. So you know what I'm talking about. So as we look at this, this is the curse to women. It's not going to be there. Now, I can't give you all the details. I just know that Jesus said there's no marrying, marriage in heaven, the new heaven, the new home. I don't know what all that means. I know one thing. I know that Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Amen? And that's what he's doing right now. He's putting the finishing touches on that new heaven and that new earth, that new home that you and I are going to be with. But there will be no curse there, no curse of Satan, no curse of the pain of having childbirth. Oh, and this one I'm thankful for. He says, "Then he said to Adam," who, I hate to admit it, was the dunce of the trio, okay? Because he wasn't deceived. He wasn't tempted. She said eat, and he took it and ate. His choice was clear. And that choice was that he wanted her more than he wanted God. Right, wrong, or different. The idea is, "Because you have heeded to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it.'" But I want to go back to the woman just one more thing. Understand something. God placed in your heart to serve and love your husband. That's what he put in your heart. Satan does his best to destroy that desire to serve and love your husband like it's something horrible, like you're a slave, like you're a subservient, or you're less than what that man is, then that's not the truth. He created the woman to complement him. Man, if you understand what that meant, and man, if you understand what that meant, you wouldn't treat women or your wives the way that you do. God is holding you accountable for that. He says, going back to the man, don't mean to be flipping around here, but let's get into this. Cursed is the ground for your sake. If you toil, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. That sounds good. Wait a minute. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb in the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. In other words, man was cursed through the fall as well. And that's to work every day of their life by the sweat of their brow to make and provide for their family. And it's not going to be easy. He's talking about that's what Adam did. He tilled the ground. That's how we fed him. Well, that may not be the case, but I am sure that sometimes when I think about it, I remember my dad being a mechanic his whole life. And let me tell you, that was no walk in the park. Brother Pat back there being a carpenter, that's been no walk in the park. I worked in the mines. That was no walk in the park. You see, we work by the sweat of our brow to take care of the needs of our family. You see how the enemy has broken that down? It's not about the needs of our family, it's about the needs of ourselves. That's why so many children are out there on the streets without dads. And mom's trying to raise these children on their own, and it is not the way it is supposed to be. Mom and dad both offer into the home truth, stability, and the knowledge of God. As Christians, that's how it's to be. But it breaks my heart that Satan not only has ruled the roost in the world, but he has made a horrible impact into the church. Christian men and women are falling right and left because women are not loving and serving their husbands as God commanded them to, and men are not taking responsibility to work and take care of their families like they were told to do. That's depressing now, but it's going to be missing in the new heaven and the new earth. I don't know, and I don't have the full picture, but I know he says here that these curses, the curse is going to be gone, and the curse started with Satan and carried through to humanity. That's the first thing that's going to be missing. The second thing is we take a look in 3b and verse 4, he says here, he says that it should be that, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. You know what that tells me? That in a new heaven and new earth, there will be no shame. We'll be able to go into the presence of God without being ashamed, because we've no longer fallen to any curse. We can serve him face to face. We can talk to him face to face. How many times, let me ask you this, how many times do we go in prayer and we hang our heads because we're ashamed? I do. I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I deliver God's word, but I'm not perfect. And I fall. I fall to the manipulation of Satan himself sometimes. But it's getting harder for him. It's getting harder for him. And I want to make it as hard on him as I possibly can. Amen? Don't you? The only way to do that is on your knees through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way to do that. And then in that new heaven and new earth, when we stand in our judgment seat, we will be cleansed by fire, whatever that means. And when we walk through the other side, we will be pure. And we will stand in God's presence without shame, without having to hang our heads. We'll be able to look at our God face to face. Isn't that a day you look forward to, my friend? It is a day I look forward to. So missing from our new home is the curse of being ashamed or doubt. Well, the Bible tells us something else here in verse 5. He says, there shall be no more night. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Think about that. Without the sun, we would all perish. But in the new home, there's not going to be any need of any sun. There's not going to be any need of a flashlight. There's not going to be any need of having a light switch in your mansion. Because God Himself is that light. Amen? Relate it like this. Who is the light of your life? Jesus Christ. And when He is just having control of you, aren't you lit up? People will come to you and say, man, what is it with you? And you can say, it's the light of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Because He lights up the life within us, which lights up the life outside of us. But here, there will be no need. I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit is going to need to indwell us up there. I don't know. But I do know this, that we won't need Jesus as our Savior because we already have Him as our Savior and we've already got entrance into the new home. How many of us in our lifetime have ever been afraid of the dark? Come on. Yeah, okay. I'm one of them. I used to. And I really was scared of the dark when the thunder and lightning came and all the lights went out. You know where you found old Mike here? In the closet. Now, that was up at the goat ranch, but I did grow up a little bit since then. But I've never liked the dark very well. And you want to know why? Because I can't see. That's why nobody really likes the dark. Those that live in the dark do the actions of the dark. They live in evil, which flourishes in the dark. There's not going to be any dark, and there's going to be no need of any light, because God's very presence there is going to light up all that there is. Now we know, I don't understand this, it goes beyond my ability. We're talking about the earth, we're talking about nations. He talks about nations being in existence. He's going to light up all of the earth through Himself. You know what else it tells me? And this is exciting. I'm not going to need to sleep. Amen? We're not going to need to sleep. These new bodies we got are going to be able to go and go and go and go and go. You might have the choice if you want to. But who's going to want to? Anybody that's ever worked shift work and has worked a night shift and has... gets off just about daybreak. I used to have to get off at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'd have to rush home, get into bed before the sun came up. If that sun came peeking up before I got into bed, I was done. I couldn't go back. I couldn't go to sleep. But I won't need to worry about that because I'm going to have a body that is not going to deteriorate. It's not going to be cut short. I'm going to have more energy than I've ever had in my life, and so are you. We're not going to need to sleep. There's nothing that said that Adam and Eve ever slept. Didn't say that. You see, at that time, they were different before the fall. They had all the energy they needed. They frolicked and played and swam and did all those neat, wonderful things. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say we're going to have any seas to swim in, but that doesn't mean there might be some fresh lakes or something. I don't know. But I know one thing, it's going to be grand. And I know one thing, we're not going to need to sleep, and there's going to be the light of God every place we turn. So light's going to be missing. The final thing that I want to share with you is in verse 6 and 7. It says, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. How many believe that this morning? Say amen. Amen. They're faithful and true. Let me tell you in layman's terms what that means. It means it's going to happen. You can count on it. He says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent the angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. You know what else is going to be missing in heaven? Doubt. How many times have we walked, even as a Christian, that we have been doubtful sometimes in our life? Doubtful because we don't understand God's word. We don't know how this plan is going to be formulated. We don't even have a clue how it's going to work out. And we doubt. That's part of our sinful human nature. But there's not going to be any of that there. Because we're going to see everything firsthand, each and every moment for all eternity. Why? Because God's sayings are faithful and true. We need to believe that now. We need to believe that now. We can't just wait till our new home comes. If you want to get through this world, you need to believe it now. And when God says you reject the Son and that hell is the alternative, you need to believe that now. If he says he's going to give you eternal life, you need to believe that now. And you need to believe the most important message of God's word now. That Jesus Christ is the only way to get to this new home. He's the only way. This building, what it stands for, the name out there, any church across this planet is not going to mean anything when we stand in God's presence. See, that's why many have interpreted in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, believe that those are the holy saints that have gone before us watching what we're doing. I do not believe that. If you read further, you'll find out the cloud of witnesses are those saints that lived here and now that guide us and help us to understand what we need to do and how we need to live. And by faith, they were chosen by God. Would you like to be in heaven and look down upon your family and your loved ones and watch them fail and sin and fall without crying? You know you couldn't. God do that to us? No. He would not. That's why I am so thankful that my wife and my mom, my brother-in-law Tom, and many that I have loved that have passed on before me are not watching what I'm doing. Because if I thought that was the case, I would be doing nothing. You understand? I would keep myself holed up in my house and I would do nothing but eat and sleep. Afraid of causing them pain and anguish, but I'm not. Because they're in the presence of God. They're in the presence of the Lord. So my friend, be excited about the new home. Jesus is preparing that new home for us right now. And praise God that the curse is going to be lifted. Praise God that there's going to be no more shame. Praise God that there's going to be no more light because He is our light. Praise God that there's going to be no more doubt. I want to say today, as we prepare for our invitation, let the truth of God's word. Let his word, like the two-edged sword, just cut your heart asunder to hear the truth. And if you've been one that's been walking outside of the salvation of God, which is Jesus Christ, please understand, you're walking a fine line. You don't know when you're going to stand in judgment. You don't know, because everyone has an appointed time and you're not going to miss it. And neither am I. You need to be prepared. And the only way to be prepared to meet the Maker is to know the Maker. Amen. Maybe today the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about your walk, even as a Christian. Maybe we've allowed the curse of Satan to affect us far greater than we should. Maybe we have so much more to be ashamed of because we've fallen under that curse and given in to his lies and deception. The light that is to be in us, maybe it's not shining like it should. It can, if you surrender your life and let him have control of it. And you can walk in his presence without doubt, to know that his words are faithful and true.